We pray. Holy Spirit, through the power of your word, come and bless us this very day. Enlighten our hearts, fill us with your joy and love, that we might leap for joy at the sound of your name. Bless us and strengthen us through all of life trials as we find our refuge in your holy word. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. Have you ever tested Jesus? Have you ever stood toe to toe with him and pushed back and say, "Who do you think you are? Prove yourself." Well, me and us Pharisees and Sadducees felt it was our obligation to test Jesus. First and foremost, just to put him in his place, but later on, when he became in trouble, to really cut him down to size. To show him to be the phony he truly is. Excuse me. I'm Mordecai. I'm that expert in the law that Luke had written about. And I remember that day when I tested Jesus. When I stood toe to toe and nose to nose, and I tried to trip him up. Many of my fellow Pharisees and Sadducees, they would use tricky terms and situations that seemed to have no possible solution to them. I'm an expert in the law. I'm much more straightforward. I'll ask him a plain, simple question, but a very deep question, just to reveal how shallow his understanding of Scripture truly is. And so I stood up. I paid him the proper respect. I called him teacher, even though I wasn't really expecting him to teach me anything. "Teacher," I said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, isn't that the ultimate of questions? What must I do to go to heaven? I was surprised at his answer, or even his lack of answer. He didn't come right out with a definite answer. He didn't tell me, "Oh, Mordecai, you are so good." Nor did he say, "Oh, Mordecai, you've been so evil." He simply turned this expert in the law back to Scripture. He said, "What is written in the law?" Well, I felt a sudden change. Instead of me testing him, he was testing me. I'm no dummy. I know Scripture. I know how the law answers my question for me, so I recited it to him. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." We knew that from little on. I was surprised. I was amazed at Jesus. I didn't get a deep theological argument with him. This simple man from Galilee, who we thought was a big nothing, he answered simply and straightforwardly. Who could argue with him? He actually condoned my answer, this little man from Galilee. He said, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Ooh. Do this, and you will live. Did you hear those words? Do this, and you will live. Those were troublesome words for me. Those words were anything but simple. No one could argue with his answer, but have you ever taken time to look at those words? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are deep words from the very mouth of God. Can he really mean what it sounds like he means? A blanket love? We are to love God with 100% of our being, from the very core of us, always, every day, completely, in all circumstances, and to love our neighbor equally, as much as we love ourselves. Really? Is that what God is telling us? How are you doing with that? I can tell you from myself, I'm not doing so well. I look pretty good on the outside, being an expert in the law. Oh, there's lots of people who want to shake my hand and pat me on the back, and yet, if I want to be honest, I don't love too many people. I actually take advantage of those who are weak. I stomp on those and mock those who are broken. I blame those who have made a mess of their own lives. I'm critical and I point out my finger and I tell them how wrong they are. I gossip about people. I make fun of them and use them to make me feel so much better. But none of that's love. And so in order to justify myself, to justify the limits I put on my love, I asked Jesus a question, a very logical question. Scripture really can't mean what it really says here. So I asked him, well, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to have all this love for? I was expecting Jesus to be a reasonable man, but he's not. I was expecting to at least say, well, love those who you live with. Maybe love those that are in your community. After all, we have to get along with people. Or at least love your fellow Israelite. But again, Jesus didn't give me a straight answer. He told me a story. A story. Perhaps you know the story. A man going from Jericho to Jerusalem gets beaten up by robbers, stripped, left half dead. Oh, pitiful. And who should come by but a priest and a Levite? And they walked on the far side of the road. They weren't going to get involved. Kind of today, if a pastor and a teacher were to walk on the far side of the road. And then who should come by? A Samaritan. Those Samaritans. Those half-breeds. Those people we don't like. A Samaritan should come by. And what does he do? Does he walk around on the other side? No. He goes to the man. He cleans out his wounds with the antiseptic of wine. He salves them over with oil so that he bandages them up. He hauls them on his donkey to an inn where he's safe and taken care of, where he can recuperate, and he actually opens up his wallet and puts his hard-earned money down on the counter. Take care of him. And when I come back, I'll give you more if needed. Really? Who does that? Would you do that? I wouldn't do that. Not by nature. Jesus, knowing that I am an expert in the law and I can discern these things, asked me to make a ruling decision on this according to the law. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Well, that was easy enough. The one who had mercy on him. He treated him like a neighbor. And then again, Jesus poked me in the heart. Go and do likewise. Did you get it? Go and do likewise. Go. do likewise. Oh, how that burned within me. Now, many of the people of my day and age, and maybe here today too, also get this all confused. They think Jesus is just saying, well, go and help some people in need every so often, whenever you happen to run across them, and that'll be good enough, and God will call that good, and we'll all go home to heaven. That's not what Jesus told me. This was a Samaritan. Jews hate Samaritans. Samaritans hate Jews. If anyone had a chance to walk around on the far side, it would have been this Samaritan. But no, what would ever move this Samaritan to go and help one of us? Love. So much love in his heart, he even had love for his enemy. Who is my neighbor? Everyone. Even our enemies. Even those we don't want to love. How well are we doing with that? Go and do likewise. Would we consider ourselves good Samaritans or sidestepping Pharisees and Levites? Do we feel good about ourselves? Go and do likewise. I could feel a crushing blow of the law coming down on my head. I felt sick in my heart. Actually, at that moment, it reminded me of my friend Amos. Amos, everybody loved Amos, highly respected. The most intelligent man in our village, and kind, oh, so kind, he'd give you the shirt off his back, so kind. One day, Amos was having a party on his flat roof of the house, his patio. Too much party, too much wine. He got mad at his nephew and gave him a shove. The nephew tripped and fell off the roof of the house. Landed and broke his spine. The people brought him to the town council. They made him pay his brother for his son's injuries. And then they said, Amos, go. You can no longer be around here. And I looked at Amos, my friend. And oh, from such high heights, he was now a broken man. Dying a thousand deaths inside. The tears were awful in his eyes. Those were the tears I felt when Jesus showed me how loveless I truly am to so many people. Are those the tears you cry when Jesus shows you how loveless you are to so many people? How are we ever to get to heaven when we don't love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind, and we don't love our neighbor as ourselves? Oh, we might love those who love us. We might help those who help us. But even the pagans do that. I was crushed. I sat down, and I wondered, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Perhaps you know the rest of the story. This Jesus. He was showing us that all of us are like this poor, broken man on the side of the road. Oh, we look good on the outside. We look like we have it all put together, but our sins have taken their toll. They've broken us and bruised us and knocked the life out of us. And all those sins carry a curse. Curse of an eternity in hell. And here comes Jesus, a strange man from a strange place. He's not one of us, much like the Samaritan was not one of the Jews. He's holy. We're sinful. He's God. We're mortal. He's our enemy, not our friend by nature. And yet this enemy comes and becomes one of us, to save us. Who does that? This Jesus comes and he loves the Father with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. Every moment of his existence here, he loves his Heavenly Father, and he loves you and me as himself. He fulfills the law, and he rescues us from our lovelessness. We are the poor, beaten ones eating the dust of this ground as the life drains from us. And what does Jesus do? He comes to us. We don't come to him. He bandages us up. He picks us up, and he doesn't put us on a donkey. He carries us on his shoulders. He doesn't carry us to an inn. He carries us to the cross, where he bleeds and dies to make atonement for our sins. Just like all those lambs we slaughtered in the temple for so many years. Blood. His blood to atone. He didn't give gold and silver. He gave his most precious commodity, his own life. Also that we might be his brothers and sisters and spend eternity in glory. What must I do to go to heaven? Believe in this Jesus. Believe that he has done it all from beginning to end. That in him there is salvation, and apart from him there is no salvation. Only the depths of hell, for none of us can save ourselves. I wonder, the man in the dirt by the side of the road, after he recovered, what do you think he did? I never heard the rest of that story. I wonder if he still had a hatred for Samaritans, or whether he saw them differently now. I wonder if he had a love for those in need, others who were broken and downtrodden. I wonder if he had a softer, kinder, gentler heart, or whether he went back to a life of ridicule and misery. I would suspect an event like this might change him forever. How about you and me? Isn't that amazing? Many people saw Jesus as simply a threat back in my day. But after he rose from the dead, they had a new view of him and life. They sat and they looked, and they pondered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The law commands it, but it gives us no power to do it. But Jesus and the good news of him, how he has loved the Father with all his heart and soul and loved you and me as himself and has spent himself to make us his own, that changes us, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, I found myself loving others with his love. Loving the Father with the very love the Son has for his Father. That's what he fills us with viewing everybody else as now my neighbor who I am to love. Not to beat down or ridicule or criticize or manipulate or use, but to build up in love. With that love that God has for me and has for you. What a transforming power this Jesus had for all of us who first tested him. Have you tested Jesus? Have you stood toe to toe and pointed your finger at him and tried to make him prove himself? Repent for such sinful arrogance. Who are we that we should treat Jesus that way? Have we ever tried to find our own loophole to condone our own sin and to water down the word of God? Oh, repent. Has a crushing blow of the law come and shattered our excuses, our rationalizations? Thank God. Has Jesus come and picked us up in his powerful and loving arms and carried us once again back to that cross where he has paid for it all, paid for every single sin, and reassured us we are still the blood-bought children of God? How blessed we are if we have made that journey with Christ. And now we pray, oh, Holy Spirit, give us that love that dwells in Christ's heart, that love for the Heavenly Father, and that love for everyone we call a neighbor, everyone around us, that God's love might truly be made manifest and abundant in our hearts and lives, that all the world might know that we are Christ's by how we love one another. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us such a faith as this. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, work in us and through us by the power of your word and sacrament, that we might be enlivened and enlightened, that we might walk through this dark world as ambassadors of your grace and goodness. Use us, dear Lord, to shine forth your love in every corner of this world, now and forever, in Christ our Savior. Amen.